Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In these lessons, Rick shows us from God's Word how to have great faith and live with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when your circumstances appear hopeless. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a DVD study kit that will inspire and encourage you in your walk with the Lord called Everything is Possible with God. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word daily to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When You're Running Out of Everything.
To prove that God has not forgotten me, God often dries up the brook. Why? See, God could have left Elijah in that rut. He could have left him there. If God didn't care, he could have put Elijah in that ravine and left him there the rest of his life. But God did care about Elijah. But for that reason, he dried up the brook so that Elijah could have something better. It proves, you see, when things go wrong in our lives, we often think, God's forgotten me. No, it means God is paying attention to you. He's paying attention to you. He's paying attention because he wants to move you to a new place. And that brings us to the second place. First, he's in the ravine, in the rut. The second place we see Elijah is in the next verse. He's on the road. And the second test of Elijah's faith is a dangerous journey. I call this a time of insecurity. 1 Kings 17, 8 and 9 says, "So then the Lord said to Elijah, 'Now get up out of that rut you're in, that ravine, and go to Zarephath and live there. I've prepared a widow there in Zarephath to take care of you.' So Elijah, he obeys. He went to Zarephath." Now I want you to circle, get up and go, and circle the word prepared. God had prepared in advance a widow where he was going to take him next. Now what's happening here? God says, "I want you to move. Get ready to go on a journey, Elijah." But who and where Elijah is being sent to does not give Elijah a lot of confidence for a number of reasons. First, look up here on the screen. Here is a map of Israel. Now notice at the bottom of Israel, down by the Red Sea in this northern kingdom, is Kerith, that brook where he was, in that gorge, in that rut. Zarephath is at the very top. It's not even in Israel. It's in modern day Lebanon. It is a city, small town, on the coast of the Mediterranean. It wasn't even a Jewish city. It was a pagan city. Now, for Elijah to get from Kerith to Zarephath, he's going to have to go through dangerous territory. There's a number of problems with this journey. Number one, it's over 100 miles. It's going to take him days to walk. And remember, he's a marked man. There are wanted signs for Elijah all over Israel. He's going to have to walk right through the heartland of Baal worship, where everybody there wants to kill him. It's in the middle of a drought, so there's no water, and he's going to walk for days without water. Zarephath is not even a Jewish town. It's a pagan town, false worship. In fact, Zarephath just so happens was the hometown of Jezebel. And Elijah says, "You're sending me to Jezebel's hometown? You got to be kidding, Lord. All of her friends are there. I'll be a sitting duck." And then he says, "Oh, and when you get to Zarephath, I'm going to have a very poor widow take care of you." The least likely person to take care of Elijah, a poor widow. She couldn't defend him or protect him, much less even feed him, likely. She's a poor widow. Of all the people, he says, "I'm sending you to Jezebel's hometown to a poor widow." Now he's going from bad to worse. Are you there? Some of you are in the journey phase right now of life. You're on the road from Kerith to Zarephath, and it seems like things are going from bad to worse. And as I said, you've got a pile of bills sitting at home, stacked up, unpaid, and you don't know where the money's going to come from. Bad to worse. When you're on the road, when you're on the journey phase of the test of faith, What do you need to remember? When you're scared to death and God's got you on a journey and you don't know where you're going, you don't know how long it's going to take, and you don't know what's going to happen when you get there, and you're kind of a marked person and anybody could attack you from any side because you're out in the open and you're very vulnerable, what do you do when you're on a journey in life and you're scared to death? You do the three things, and remember the three things that Elijah did. You need to write these down. Three things to remember when you're on the road. Number one, the path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. The path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. Miracles never happen in your comfort zone. When everything's going great, when everything's copacetic, when everything's comfortable, when everything's convenient, you don't need a miracle when everything's settled in your life. You only need a miracle when you're on the edge, when you're scared to death, when you're insecure, when you're out there and you could get hit at any angle. The path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. Elijah's going to have to walk through right through the area of Samaria and Megiddo, which is where we get the word Armageddon from Megiddo, the valley there. And he's going to have to go all through all that, with people wanting to kill him, in order to get to where God wants him to go. When Moses led the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage and slavery to the promised land, they had to go through the Red Sea first. That was scary. For David the slave Goliath, he had to walk out onto the battlefield before the victory could happen. You may have to go into battle first. When God wanted Jehoshaphat to win a victory, he had to put the choir before the army. These were scary things. Are you at a place right now in your life where things are a little uncomfortable, financially, sexually, emotionally, relationally, physically? You're just a little nervous, a little on the edge, a little insecure. Congratulations. You're on the path to a miracle. Miracles don't happen when things are comfortable. Miracles happen when things are uncomfortable. You see, Elijah didn't say to God, "God, this is a great plan. There's only three things wrong with it. One, you're sending me in the wrong direction. You're sending me right through my enemy's territory. Wrong direction. Two, you're sending me to the wrong location, Jezebel's hometown. As I said, I'll be a sitting duck there. And three, you're sending me to the wrong protection. A poor widow can't take care of me." No, he just obeyed. Second thing you need to remember when you're on the journey and it's a little scary, the source of a miracle is always unexpected. In your life, the source of a miracle, where it comes from, will not be where you think it's going to come from. It's always unexpected. Why does he do it that way? So God gets the glory. That's why you can't figure it out. So stop trying. Some of you, you're out of work. You're unmarried. You got a major need. You got some need in your life that you want met. Whatever it is, I don't know. And you're trying to figure it out. And you're looking all around and saying, "Well, maybe God could do it that way, and maybe God could do it that way, and maybe God could do it that way. And maybe I could help God a little along with this. Maybe I could drop a few hints. Maybe I could manipulate the situation. Maybe I could get a suggestion here." And what you're trying to do is you're trying to manipulate God. It doesn't work. When God told Abraham, "You're going to have a son, and that son's going to be the father of a great nation," Abraham is old in years, 80, 90, 90, and finally he doesn't even have a child, he's 99. And there's no baby, and he's supposed to be the father of a great nation. So he takes matters into his own hands, and he has sex with a woman who's not his wife, Hagar, and has a child named Ishmael. And he says, "Here's my son, God. See, you promised me a son. Here it is." And God said, wrong answer. That's not the one I promised. That's the one you came up with your plan. But that's not my plan. My plan is I'm going to use your wife, Sarah, and do a miracle long after she's incapable of having children. Now, you see, the source of a miracle is always unexpected. When I was younger and when we were first starting Saddleback Church and we'd get in a financial tight situation, I'd always try to figure it out. Where's the money going to come from? I go, "Okay, where's God going to get the money? Where's it going to come? Where are we going to get the money?" I don't even do that anymore, because now, if I try to figure out where it's going to come from, it's not coming from there. Because God does miracles in illogical ways. Why? Look here on the screen. Isaiah 55, the Bible says, "My thoughts," God says, "are completely different from yours. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine." The way you want to meet the need in your life is not the way God wants to meet the need in your life. Your way is second best. God's way is best. So the journey is often illogical. You see, if you could understand God, you'd be God. But you're not. Let me give you a little stress reliever. Repeat this 10 times. God is God, and I'm not. That'll reduce the stress in your life significantly. God is God, and I'm not. When you start trying to figure it out, where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the need? Where are we going to get the... And you're all worried and frustrated. No, you just say, God is God, and I'm not. The path to a miracle is always through uncomfortable territory. The source of a miracle always comes in an unexpected way. So what do you do when you're on this road? You don't fret. You don't fear. You don't forget. You don't try to figure it out. You don't try to formulate. You just have faith. You just trust God. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And if God tells me to do it, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's illogical, even from a human standpoint, it doesn't make sense for me to go that direction to that location and talk to that person, I'm going to do it. Because God said do it, and then you're being set up for a miracle. Third thing you need to remember on the journey, the pattern for a miracle is always CPR. The pattern for a miracle is always CPR. Command, promise, risk. And this CPR will really get your heart going. Command, promise, risk. You need to realize that every time God does a miracle, anywhere, it always comes in this format. God gives you a command, tells you to do something, and then he gives a promise and says, if you do it, here's what I'll do. There's a command, and then there's a promise. And then you take the risk. You step out in faith because this does not make sense. This is illogical. I can't afford to do this. It doesn't make sense at all. But God says, here's the command. Here's the promise. Now you take the risk. And then comes the miracle. Then comes the fulfillment. Then comes the answer. God always works with CPR. It's how he starts your heart spiritually. I could take you all through the Bible and give you example, how God gave a command to Noah, build an ark. He said, I promise I'll save your family. Noah takes the risk, and what happens? That's what happens. Gideon, David, I could give you over and over so many illustrations where God says to somebody, do this, doesn't make sense, but I promise this, I'll take care of you. And if you do that, take the risk, then you'll see the fulfillment. And that's what happened. Now we come to the third place of Elijah in the test of his faith. First, he's in the rut, then the ravine, then he's on the road, and now he comes to Zarephath. And Zarephath, when he arrives at this city, this is a time of scarcity. Notice what the Bible says. When he reached the town gate, Elijah saw a widow. Now he's thinking, oh, widow, ding, 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 ding. Elijah saw a widow gathering firewood. So he asked her, would you please bring me a drink of water? And as she was going to get it, Elijah added, and please bring me a small piece of bread too. I think this is absolutely hilarious. Can you imagine walking up to a total stranger who's obviously poor, like some homeless person on the street, and say, hey, can you give me a drink of water? And by the way, bring me a Togo sandwich. Or bring me some bread, and if you don't mind, put a little of that garlic sauce on the top of it, or bring me some oil and vinegar, I like to dip it. Would you say to a stranger who's obviously poor, a homeless person, I need you to help me? No, you wouldn't. Why would Elijah do that? Because God did CPR. I'm going to command you to do this. And I promise if you do it, it's going to work out. I'll take care of you. So Elijah takes the risk. It did not make sense for him to say to like a homeless, she wasn't homeless, but a poor widow, can you help me? Can you do something for me? That just did not make sense. But now he's in the place of scarcity. Now, the woman answered, as surely as your God lives. Notice she says your God. It wasn't her God because she wasn't Jewish. She was an idol worshiper. She says, as surely as your God lives, I swear I have no bread. I only have a handful of flour left in a small jar and a little olive oil left in a jug. So, you know, all I've got is just a little handful of flour and a handful of oil. I don't have any bread at home. Said, I came out here to gather some wood so I could go home and cook our last meal. My son and I will eat it, and then we're going to die of hunger. Now, Elijah's thinking, this is who you sent me to? God, you're sending me to a woman who doesn't even have food for her own family. She's got one meal left, and you're asking me to ask her for it? This is illogical. This is a test. And the test is, do you believe God or do you believe yourself? Do you believe you're smarter than God or do you believe God wants to do a miracle? And so she goes, I'm telling you, I just got a little bit of oil, a little bit of flour, and enough to, I came out here to pick up some sticks and we're going to go cook. I'm going to make a pancake dinner for me and my son, and we're going to die because we're like everybody else. We're in the recession and there's nothing left. And so we're going to eat our last meal. And we're going to starve to death. Now, here's what Elijah says. Don't be afraid. Go home and first make a small loaf of bread from what you have. Whatever you got, you make a loaf of bread and bring it to me. Then cook something for yourself and your son. Hello? This does not sound right, does it? It just does not sound right. It says, okay, this is a test of your faith. You go home, you take whatever you got, and you don't have much left. I want you to give it to me. In fact, God wants you to give it to me. He says, then cook something for yourself and your son. God says, here's the promise. I assure you that that jar of flour will never be empty, and the jug of oil will never run out until the day I send rain to the land. He said, God will supernaturally replenish it. And in that little bowl and in that jar, you're going to make stuff out of it, and supernaturally, it's going to fill up again. And you make some more, and it's going to supernaturally fill up again. And you're never going to run out, and you'll always have reserve. If you'll do what I tell you to do on the promise of God, you'll never run out until the day I send the rain to the land.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, how's your faith? Strong or weak? Is it steady or a bit on the shaky side? If you'd like to take your faith to new heights, you're going to want a copy of Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith. In this study kit, which includes a DVD and study guide, you'll learn that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised and developed. You'll also learn about the predictable patterns and processes involved in building your faith. Rick calls this the Six Phases of Faith. Once you understand these six phases, you can cooperate with God as He systematically strengthens your faith and builds your character. This groundbreaking small group Bible study will help you uncover and participate in God's unique plan and purpose for your life. It's filled with helpful discussion starters, video overviews, a leader's guide, and more. Session titles include How God Builds Your Faith, God's Dream for Your Life, How to Make Wise Decisions, Delayed by Design, How to Deal with Difficulty, and From Dead End to Deliverance. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we're going to send you this great study kit as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us how God is using this ministry to change lives.
Today I'd like to share a story from Tim, who has been through a very tough time the last few years. He wrote this: "Dear Pastor Rick, I wanted to let you know how much I have enjoyed the Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith series. Over the past several years, I've struggled with what seems to be a series of unending trials. The failure of a firm that I joined during a financial crisis, and then the loss of finances and investment, and then I lost my home, and I've had a dead marriage and a geographic separation from my children, and I now even find myself unemployed in the midst of a job search. But your teaching on Daily Hope have helped me tremendously. They've brought me closer to God. They've deepened my faith, and they've given me a sense of hope and direction. So I can't thank you and your team enough."
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.